Would you stand with me, please? It's going to be a little different tonight, but don't worry. It'll be all right. If you'll turn to Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So easily beset us. You can't take your luggage with you, folks. Can't take it to heaven. You really can't take it to church. Looking unto Jesus, the author, he started us in this thing, and he's the finisher. We're not going to do it by ourselves, of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand, or the power of the throne of God. Amen. And then if you turn to John, the 14th chapter, verse number 12. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. He has endued us with power to do even greater things that he did. Amen. Again, Lord, we ask your blessing and anointing upon your word. Touch it as only you can. Touch our minds and our hearts to receive it. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. My brother-in-law was an executive with the Kohler Company for many years up in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. And one of his responsibilities was to set up corporate meetings for their high-level management executives. He brought in a number of well-known speakers from all over the nation in order to talk to them and motivate them. I don't know if you've ever been in those kind of meetings where somebody motivates you to do more. But he realized that they couldn't keep the attention of the audience. They were wandering, you could see, and some of them didn't come back to the next meeting. So he hired a ventriloquist with a wooden dummy that sat on his knee and used the same material that they used the year before. And now all of the executives sat at the edge of their seat wanting more information. Isn't that amazing what a dummy can do? So I remember in 1990, now this ventriloquist was nationally known, was on several of the national news syndicates. In 1990, I invited the same ventriloquist to come to our church to do some simple Bible lessons with the same dummy. And everybody loved the dummy. They really did. I saw people coming up to shake the hand of the dummy, not the ventriloquist. Amen. A lot of people don't want to hear what we have to say about God. Just don't, that's fine for you. I've heard it all, you know. Perhaps it's because we try to give people too much information at once, you know. We want to impress them about the scripture that we know, or even tell them about all of our experiences all in one time. It should be line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. If somebody came to me and gave me so much information, it would have scared me out of the church. Maybe if we become dummies that sat on the knee of Jesus, they'd listen to us. Not our words, but somebody who controlled our mouths. You see? You see, he made our mouths, And the Bible says that he can put the words in them. I'd rather just say 10 words that God gave me than 100 words that I just kind of rattle off, you see. There needs to be an anointing. People need to know that's not you, that's somebody else moving your lips. If you'll turn to Exodus chapter 4 and verse number 11, we're talking about Moses. God calls Moses and said, I want you to deliver my people out of bondage. And in verse number 10, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since hast thou spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and a slow tongue. Amen. You know, Pastor, I just don't feel comfortable witnessing. I don't know as much scripture as you. If could you just come and talk to, you know, my relatives? Verse 11, and the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb? Hallelujah. Or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. Amen. I've been there, folks. You know, when you go fishing, I'm not much of a fisherman, but when you go fishing, you've got all of these lures and all of these special things in a tackle box. You don't take the tackle box and throw it in the water. You know, one of those things will get them for sure. No, you take out your favorite lure, the one that you caught fish on before, and that's your testimony. You just throw it out there and see what happens. And then maybe a little more, a little later. Live bait works best, and that's our testimony because it's fresh. Nobody else has your testimony. Some of those old cartoons I saw when I was young still make a point even to this day with me. Amen. Saturday mornings were cartoon mornings, you know. I know I'm old, but that's you couldn't wait till Saturday morning. All of these cartoons, most of you don't even remember. I'm running the risk of completely destroying my credibility with what I'm about to say right now. When I was just a child, maybe 21, my favorite cartoon was The Roadrunner. I don't know if you've ever seen The Roadrunner. About 10 years ago, I was on a golf course with my wife, and there was a Roadrunner. I mean, it looked like a little chicken. The thing hardly ever flew. It just, beep, beep, it's gone, you know. And so that was the Roadrunner. Wile E. Coyote always tried to catch this little chicken, you know. And he was never successful. He tried everything in order to capture it. I always felt sorry for him. You know, he tried so hard. He put everything that he had into it. He would always run his heart after this little skinny chicken and always come up empty-handed. He never got a hold of the Roadrunner. That Roadrunner would just look at him, go beep, beep, and gone, you know. Aren't you glad you came tonight? He could not run fast enough in order to catch this little bird. So what he would do is he'd go to the Acme store and he would get some special equipment. He got a slingshot that he could move backwards and then propel himself towards that little bird. And every time he would miss, and he'd find himself hanging over a cliff and looking down like, oh no, this is going to hurt. And then you'd see a little poof. But the next scene, he was up again, piling up dynamite, you know, in order to get a hold of this bird. And the dynamite would always explode before the bird got to him. And all you'd see is a crispy critter, a little smoke smoldering, you know. This would go on with all kinds of traps, but never, ever getting the Roadrunner. But why I really admired about him is he never gave up. Some of you, some things come against you, and you're kind of in a daze like, how did that happen? What am I going to do? But with Wile E. Coyote, he never gave up. No matter how hurt he was, how bad it looked, he always dusted himself off and was ready for the next challenge. That's the church, folks. It doesn't always go our way. Brother Oggs wrote a book called You Have to Have a Want To. Brother Oggs had multiple sclerosis and he could hardly talk, but he was one of the greatest preachers I ever known. But he wrote this book that only he could write because he kept getting up and getting up. And that's what this cartoon taught you. You know, we all have the best intentions, but things don't always go our way just the way we thought they were. So what do we do? Just lay there, or do we get up? I wonder how many people used to be in the church, but something happened to them. It was unfair. It wasn't deserved. But they got up, and they tried again. They dusted themselves off. Glory to God. We can't blame somebody else for our shortcomings or the problems that we have. I never saw Wile E. Coyote blaming somebody else for what was going on. You can't blame the church. You can't blame the saints. You can't blame the pastor. You can't blame your employer. You can't blame somebody else for what's going on. We have a God that reaches down and fixes our problems, you see. If you'll turn to Ecclesiastes, one of my favorite books, I mean that, chapter number 9 and verse number 11. It says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. If I only was, it'd be better. God's saying, no, I got this. If you'll get up again, if you work with me, if you'll turn now to 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, and let's start with 24. There's a big race in Corinth. I mean, everybody was talking about it. And so what Paul did is he used it as a point to preach to the church. He did an excellent job. He said, know ye not that they which run in a race run all? I mean, they give it everything. But one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. I did some research years ago, and then the winner, there was only one winner of the race, and they would get a crown of pine needles. And they may at some point get a little statue in the arena area, but God's saying they run for that corruptible crown, but you an incorruptible crown forever and ever. Amen. Verse 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now, Paul, if Paul worried that he wouldn't make it, folks, we ought to take this thing seriously. Don't allow something to beset us, in other words. Paul was talking about people who trained for literally years for one race. This race was held just south of Corinth at a place called Olympia, and it was a forerunner of the Olympics that we see today. I remember being there years ago. All of their efforts was for this one prize, for this corruptible crown. But Paul says to run to obtain an incorruptible. Are you tired? Is this a long thing? Are you having a difficult time? Are things not going well? Listen, runners who train, athletes who train, they get up early in the morning. They put themselves through grueling workouts in order to get something that really isn't going to last. But we run for something that's going to last forever. He's saying to the church, know ye not that they which run in a race run all. They give it everything they have. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. I remember in high school running in races thinking, well, I don't know. I feel like I should stop right here. But I knew I had to cross the finish line. You have to cross the finish line. Amen. How much more should we be determined to run knowing the prize is eternal life? The spectators in that Olympia were called witnesses. Seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. There are a lot of people watching us. Our relatives are watching us to see if we're going to. I remember when we first came into the church, I had friends, I had relatives who said, yeah, well, that won't last very long, you know? At the finish of the race was the judge, and the judge was holding the prize, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We need to look at the judge as we're running. We need to look at the prize. Eye have not seen, ear has not. We understand that there's going to be a glorious place, but we can't even imagine the glory that we will experience when we finish the race. Would you turn to Philippians, the third chapter? Verse number 13. Paul says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You have to press in. Amen. Make your election sure. Amen. Now, if we don't finish the course and press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling, it will be because we didn't lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily beset us. The Bible says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. You know, God, I'm aware of the big sins, but what about the little things? What if it causes me not to run as fast as I used to run? Could it cause me to lose out? The word beset in the Greek means to stand around and not get involved. Hallelujah. The people who are the safest in church are the ones who are involved in the church. Amen. Not just attendance, but involved in the church, involved in other people's lives, you see. Sin causes us to stop running and not look towards the prize anymore. Sin stops us from coming to church, worshiping, reading, loving everybody, talking to God, no involvement in any kind of ministry, not having patience for others or tolerance, because we just aren't running the way we used to. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay, on to the next cartoon. When I was a kid back in the 50s, I used to watch a program called Superman. Amen. Superman. Now there's all kinds of Supermen. You know, there's... I can't name them all because I don't watch cartoons much anymore. But he was the first Superman, superhero, and he could do anything. You know why they're so popular? Because everybody's looking for a superhero. We have one. His name is Jesus. You don't need a fictitious individual. We've got a real God who can do anything. He has power that you can't see. Hallelujah. He was faster than a speeding bullet, Superman. He could leap tall buildings in a single bound. He was more powerful than a locomotive. And whenever there was trouble, he was there. Doesn't this sound much like our God? Whenever somebody was in trouble, he's there. Amen. He was the good that overcame the evil. He dressed kind of funny. Yeah. This little red tights, he'd go into a phone booth and come out with the red tights and a big S on his chest. Should I show you my J? And he could fly. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. When I die, by and by, I'll fly away. We're going to have superpowers. Glory to God. You know, Clark Kent was a mild-mannered reporter. You know, his disguise was a pair of glasses. It's always amazed me. Nobody could recognize Superman because he had those glasses on, you know. And then when trouble came, you would find him running into a phone booth. Now he would have a problem today. You can't run into a cell phone. Amen. And he would exit so fast and just take one step and fly. He overcame everything and everybody. Bullets, blow torches. He could freeze a lake just by blowing on it. He had not only X-ray vision, but he could burn holes in plate steel with his eyes. What a guy. What a guy. Don't miss an episode. Don't miss one episode. We have one on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesdays. You know, this thing, you got to keep with it. Glory to God. Yet he had one weakness that so easily beset him. It was kryptonite. An ore that came from a planet called Krypton. When Superman was exposed to it, he became as weak as a baby. He couldn't exercise any of his powers. You know, God tells us that we have power to overcome everything. He's given us power to heal the sick, to raise the dead. But if we're playing around with a little bit of sin, it seems like all of a sudden we become weak as babies and we won't even want to come to church. So what do you think? Did Superman try to avoid kryptonite? I think so. You know, there's always something that, what is your kryptonite? We all know what we have to walk around. There are some people have been addicted to some things and others who have never been addicted to it. I couldn't be tempted by alcohol or drugs because I've never been involved in any of those things. But there's something in each and every one of our lives that we have to walk way around, because if we open the door to it, we're going to have trouble. If you'll turn to Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 35, Paul's saying, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sakes we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." I don't have the power to overcome temptation, but all I have to do is ask God, "God, build up a wall. Don't allow it to touch me." Philippians 4 and 13 says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Through Christ. Amen. Church, we are faster than a speeding bullet, able to leap 6 pews in a single bound. Heal the sick, cast out devils, yes, raise the dead, and greater things than we have described in the Bible, we have power to do. And I'll tell you what, Superman ran into a phone booth. You know what we do? We run into our prayer closet. And when we do that, we come out and we are powerful, because we've been with the one who gives us the power. Hallelujah. But if we are exposed to kryptonite, all the power is gone. Amen. The enemy of our soul says, "Oh, just a little. It's okay." You know what? You have been so faithful all your walk with God. Now, just relax a little. Maybe indulge. There are some people who say that isn't even bad anymore. Not true, folks. God hasn't changed his mind. I don't want to be a frustrated Christian, because I know I'm supposed to be able to, and I can't. You know? Glory to God. The kryptonite that makes us weak as a baby is sin. Sin so easily besets us or causes us to stop running and just get weak. Oh, if we only viewed sin like Jesus does. Amen. I've said this before. When I first came into the church, I went to a drama at another church, and it was very visual. There was a man who was saved, and he was wearing an entirely white suit. And behind him was the devil. And the devil was in black and had a big pot of black tar or something. And every time this man got close to something that he shouldn't have, this devil would put a hand of black on him. It was an illustration. If we could get that illustration in our heads that, you know, no, just stay away from it. Stay away from it. Glory to God. You know, Samson probably was the strongest man who ever lived. His strength was through the Spirit of God. But when he got involved with the world and catered to the flesh, he couldn't help himself, lest deliver God's people. And that's what God called him to, is deliver somebody else. When we're not living totally for God, it's so hard to talk to somebody else about God, you see. Kryptonite puts us in the hands of the enemy, renders us powerless, struggling to survive, and useless in helping the world find Jesus. Glory to God. In the Old Testament, there was a man by the name of Achan. He sinned and tried to hide it. You know, Nobody else knew about his sin. He took a Babylonian garment, 2 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold. And he hid it in the floor of his tent. And because of that, the army of Israel fled from the Battle of Ai, and 36 men were killed by the enemy, all because of this one man involved in what God said, do not touch it. Turn to Joshua, the 7th chapter. Verse number 12. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For this saith the Lord, God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee. O Israel, thou canst not stand before thine enemy until you take away the accursed thing from among you. Then verse 21. Here's what he said. When I saw among the spoil a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold and 50 shekels weight. Then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. His entire family died because of that. And their army was rendered useless. This nation is looking for a man who can turn our economy around. There's all kinds of people who are saying, I can do it, I can do it. I'll stop the crime. I'll stop the homelessness. I'll bring peace where nobody else could bring peace. We don't need a Superman. We need a super church that'll tell about a super God who can take care of all of these. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I'll heal their land. That's what the Bible tells us. He does the impossible. I've seen it for myself and so have you. He doesn't change. My God doesn't have any weaknesses to anything, but we are changed into super saints as we walk into our prayer closet and decide, God, no matter what, I'm going to get back up. I'm going to live this life. I'm not going to compromise in any way. I want to be a super saint for Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. That's all the cartoons I have. Glory to God. Would you stand with me, please? He's been so good to us. Amen. Been running this way for a lot of years. And I believe we're so close to the second coming of our Lord. This is not a time to relax. Amen. Make your calling and election sure. Amen. I'm going to make it. Amen. And you're going to help me, and I'm going to help you, you see. Glory to God. The altar's open. Would you come?